Yeah. So we got it recorded, and she can just listen in. So
excellent. And it, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be the teacher's pet for part of the day. I'm proud to say that I listened to all of our recordings before earlier this week, basically so that I could go back and glean some of the phrases that you've used to help work on the narrative that we've just about finished. So those recordings are really great. I mean, obviously the videos are super, but you know, the recordings give us a chance for the bantering that we're doing, and of course it absolutely intensifies the notion that I talk too much. But what can I say? I mean,
that's so funny.
Yeah, as if I wasn't convinced.
That's a brand new bit of information, I'm sure.
What a stunner! I can't believe it. Well, let me. Madeline has come up with a fabulous question, and
yay,
rather than just start off with me regurgitating to you all that we've done, which is a lot, and what we're in the middle of doing, let her start so we can spend as much time as we need on resolving this situation for her.
Okay.
With her.
I don't know what the resolution is, but I wanted to talk about the appointment scheduling with our client base.
Yes.
So we have some needy clients who call a lot, who some of them are on the, you know, the list to
jettison.
Get elsewhere, and some are not. Some will be staying. But I was talking to Jack, some of our clients and some of my coworkers who back me up have stated, and this is true, like we have a client who calls Jack, and Jack's not on the line, so it goes to voicemail, or it goes to me, and I'm on the line, and then they just keep calling back until someone answers. They don't, you know, they don't let it go. So I guess training clients like that who don't seem to, we also work with mostly retired folks who don't have a real schedule and don't have anything or, you know, not much planned in their day besides if they want to call us, they'll just call us.
So, is there a question in there?
Not really. I'm trying to figure one out in my head. I don't know.
What's a way to train?
Yeah, like what's the best way to train clients like that who don't have a schedule and who I think will be challenging to put on that monthly schedule?
In a very loving way, just the way that you train a child or you train anybody. You tell them what's the rules, and then you just correct them when they violate the rules in a nice way. So let's say here's what I would do with them. I would send them a schedule of their monthly calls. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So that they know, I mean, look, there's a, you know, separation anxiety or detachment anxiety or, you know, whatever their issue is, they need to know that you are there and that you're safe. They're safe. So that will be a start. And then you call them, and well, you send them the agenda. You call them, and then you send them an executive summary. Meanwhile, you've emailed them ahead of time with the agenda and any attachments of things you're going to discuss. So think of this as a class for them, right? So this week, we're taking up the 24-month – I think we're – or it's the enthusiastically endorsed model. But let's just go back – let's go back to the 24-month calendar.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. So the 24-month calendar gives them an idea that not only are you going to be calling, but you're going to be educating them. So let's say it's they don't even need it, right? They don't even need this idea, this subject, but you're still going to teach it to them.
Yeah.
So let's say, for example, it's you're going to do a review of their liability management, and they have no debt, right? They have no credit card debt. You're still going to teach them the difference between what it costs to borrow on a credit card, what it costs to borrow on margin, what it costs to use a line of credit, and what it costs to be on a mortgage. and just say, hey, I'm doing this because you know other people, and they're not doing this right. So
yeah.
I want you to become a bit of an authority on this, and you can help your friends. And if they need help beyond think they'd be a good fit for us, then have them call us, and we will help them. Okay? Now, here's the key. When they call in between, you say, let answer their question, do whatever they need to do, and then you simply tell them, you know, this is something that would have been perfect for the monthly call. So what we'll do in the future is you'll write that question down in the back of your folder, and then when we talk, you'll ask me that question then.
Perfect.
Okay.
It's not just, you know, I'm just thinking this thing through with a couple of people, and we do have those that when they call, they've got notes of things to call, and if it's not an urgent, I mean, you know,
right.
And it's never a death situation, life and death situation, but if it's not that 24-hour resolution situation, this will get them involved more in thinking through about what we're all about, and that's, you know, not just training them to use the system, but helping them understand, you know, how different this is than everything else.
Right, and you just tell them the reason we're doing this is so we'll have that designated time for you. So you will have this full hour if you need it every month. But out of courtesy, you have to understand that when you call, I'm giving someone else their hour.
Right?
And you wouldn't want to interrupt them, would you?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay, because these people are nice people or they wouldn't be clients of yours.
Yep.
Okay, so you just have to teach them the rules that when you're not talking to them, you're talking to someone else just like them. And they deserve their time uninterrupted. And if you're not talking to them, think about it. I'm preparing for a call or I'm sending out an executive summary of a call. So we're really, you know, we're really busy.
Yeah.
We love you, but we're busy.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, being organized is really going to help us a lot. I mean, and you can always say, you know, if we don't do this right, our consultant is not going to be happy with us.
He'll blame you. Absolutely.
Blame me all the time for all, anything bad you have to deliver.
That's good. Okay. Let me. And I'm not stealing any thunder because Madeline has really done all the work, or most all of the work on this. But let me just tell you what we did since our call last week. You know, we shared with you where we were with the segmentation of the book. And we finished the segmentation we divided the list, and this is just in general. She color-coded it and everything. And that we've got it basically where we've got those clients that are going to go to the call center. We've got the clients that we're going to reassign to three people here in the office. Those three people, we were hoping to be able to meet with all three this week, but it turns out one is out of the office. So we're only going to have a chance to meet with two of them and go over each of the clients we're assigning. So we want them to know something about these people.
Oh, absolutely.
They've all agreed to do this. And I think you may recall from, of course, I know you talked to dozens of people since we talked last, but you might remember that we had one of the folks that we're going to reassign to that we really like a lot has done real well in the FAA program, and he was very candid with us and said, I don't want any accounts under $250,000. But that did make it easy for us because,
sure.
You know.
Yeah, that's his minimum. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what you want to know with each person, what's your minimum?
Exactly.
And then you can make your decisions, and it's good for them, it's good for you.
Exactly. So Eric's given us a minimum. The other two don't have one, and so we just shifted a couple of things around. So we've got these four categories, call center and one for each one of the FAAs that we're reassigning, and we're going to meet with them and go over every single person, you know, before we make the calls to the people that we're reassigning, and that gives them a chance to, the folks get a chance to, you know, ask us questions about the individuals before they call them. So tomorrow, our more information than you need, our manager, Martha McNeil's mother, had an accident in Alabama, and Martha has been down with her for a month, and will probably be down for another 6 weeks. And she's retiring in February, so she's checking out anyway, and we knew that we would have to take this up with in some sort of transition, you know, working with whoever the new manager that Morgan Stanley puts in here, but we've got to have that managerial help. So tomorrow, our assistant complex manager from Charlotte, is coming down to meet with us, and we've got that issue that I'm sure you've heard before. In fact, I communicated with Jerry and Gerald Salmon earlier this week to ask them a couple of questions about what they had to do to kind of go around the Morgan Stanley system. And apparently there's a way to do it with the assigning accounts that for some reason the system doesn't make it look that it's easy to do, but you've got to have a manager either sign off on it or facilitate it or basically shepherd it through for you. So Jeremiah is coming tomorrow. We're going to go through all of this with him, basically give him the ball and say, okay, make this, clear the way for us so we can make this happen. And then we'll call all the people and tell them that they've been reassigned to the CAC Center. Now, you actually, I'm sorry, you actually, but we've already sent a couple, right?
We have five down.
Well, that's good, though. We sent five since last week that were on that list that we didn't feel like we needed to make any kind of, these are folks that
you're
we really
eligible.
Just don't know, or, you know, they're eligible to go to the CAC. And, you know, we just want to make it where the ones that we don't have any need to make a phone call for, you know, if there's only 15,000 in the account, you know, just go ahead, and we've never met these people, you know, go ahead and get this taken care of. So that's kind of like, you know, where we are, what we're doing. I mean, it's kind of moving pretty fast. When we sat down yesterday, also, we took from the list the people that each of us are going to call. Now, this is why we want your input in a minute on this narrative. But we've assigned the people that we're going to call, and of course that's a phone call that Yvette and I will make. Madeline is too busy anyway, but that's not a call that she needs to make. Obviously, she needs to know what the narrative would be in case she gets a phone call, and she could handle it very well. But that's sort of the, you know, we're going to be championing that. So. I want to, and again, I don't want, this is your call, you're our boss when it comes to this. I want to take a minute, if it's okay with you, and read the narrative that we've gotten so far and let you pick it apart. And what I did was I wrote it first, and then the ladies picked it apart, and I'm perfectly open to the changes. And then went back again, and you know, again, we're going to make it folksy and sound more like us, but it's still going to have the information that we need. So indulge me just a minute. I'll start reading. Over the past few years, we've become increasingly frustrated by the fact that we cannot give each of our clients the level of service they need, deserve, and sometimes expect. Now, let me mention this to you. I put sometimes expect in there, and again, if it doesn't belong, it gets out. But what I did was that's to help. If we go through this and somebody who we're trying to reassign says, well, I've never expected a certain level of service, you know, as a pushback to us, You know, I just wanted to use it. Some people expect that level. I'll stop right there. Is that a goofy thing to say?
No, you know, the key, I don't know if you ever, but in my, you know, because of my my longevity in the industry, I remember Xerox selling skills.
Uh-huh.
And the fundamentals of Xerox selling skills began with establish the rationale for the call. So that's exactly what you did. Why are you calling?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. You got it.
Good.
That's
okay.
The very first thing you do.
Good. Then I said, we are blessed that our practice has grown significantly, but we have not been able to improve the client experience, which was a commitment we've always had, and for many years that had separated us from our competition. We had the luxury of doing this in the past, but now we can't. We hired a consultant, and he concluded something that we had already suspected. The practice was too large, and our clients were not receiving a Ritz-Carlton concierge-type experience. His recommendation, we had to reduce the size of our practice and only work with those clients that have the most complex and challenging situations. Then I go through this means we're committing ourselves to, and that's the, you know, the 12-4-2 rapid response, all of that.
Don't forget about the financial plan.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. Doing a multi-generational financial plan for each client, full implementation of the money, yeah. Got all of that. I'm sorry.
The reason you want to use that, just to reiterate, is that takes time. I mean, that's a 6 to 12-hour commitment to each client.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if they're confused as to, wait a minute, you know, I don't ask anything of you guys. I hardly ever call. What's going on here?
Yeah.
That will help you to establish the level of service that you are committing to. And if anybody says, you know, I don't need a financial plan, and I would, you know, the answer is a lot of people don't feel they don't need a physical. You know, we're delivering a financial physical, and we'll do that on a regular basis. But how many people do you know that didn't feel like they needed a physical and went for some insurance and discovered they had a big issue?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? We can tell those stories. And so they're just a little bit of, you know, in case they catch you on that.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. That's good. Okay, so then I outlined what Supernova is as far as the service we provide. And then I had for keeper clients, for those that we're telling the story to that we want to keep, then we would simply say something like, how does that sound? And, of course, you've gone through the whole idea that, you know, they would think it would sound great and all that, and then we can say, however, we, you know, we are very happy that you've been selected. And
right. Unfortunately, we can't, you know, unfortunately is a good transition word for the people that you're not going to keep and their heart will drop. And
Yep.
The other side of that is fortunately, so fortunately or unfortunately.
Right. Okay, good.
Okay. Good transition word.
Yeah, perfect. Fortunately, unfortunately. And then so I go to unfortunately. I know you can relate to the need for this level of attention and quality of service. So we are partnering. You know, you had mentioned in one of our calls recently about dealing with people who are in the service business themselves, and they really grasp on, and maybe it's one of your videos, but they can grasp on to the idea that you've really got to do this for everybody.
Right.
So we are partnering with another professional teammate in our office who we know and trust and who will be anxious to provide you with exceptional client service. You know, Joe is a good fit for you and will take over the responsibilities for your account. We told him, and we got a him and a her because we got a female here too. We told him that you are not only a good client, but also a personal friend. He knows that you have, wait a minute, I'm sorry. He knows that we have asked you to call us if you should have any concerns, but I'm sure he's going to give you the high level of service you deserve. And then end with, you're in great shape. We're not worried about you one bit.
Great. Now, what's going to happen next? You got to transition immediately to the next step.
Well, that's why you're on the phone with us. What next?
The action step. What's going to
yep.
happen?
Yep.
Once I get off the phone, I'm going to walk over and let John know that we had this conversation, and he'll be calling you within the day or within 24 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's your next step, and this is where Gerald and those guys got off track.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that next step, and they got into long conversations, and I mean they were tortured by the time. And they got to me. They were like, oh, God, this has been – we spent an hour on the phone with each person. I'm going, oh, God,
yeah, that's
awful.
Said.
No, that would be torture. And you don't get any further, and they're no happier.
Yeah. Well,
so
and
you want to transition right away.
Yeah.
And I like the line of if you have a problem or you're not satisfied with this with John, please give us a call. And we're happy to find someone else that would be a better fit for you.
Yeah, perfect, perfect.
Okay, because that says you're not coming back here.
Yeah. and we would say the same thing for the ones that we're assigning to the call center.
Right.
And that if in fact you gave us the really neat one, all of us went aha last week when you said. That we would call the supervisor and let the supervisor we'll report it, but we're not taking it back again. It's funny that not an aside, but it is an aside. When Gerald and I were talking up at the meeting we had a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me about their experience, I did remind him that as a minister, I can see him being, having to minister to these people.
Right.
I said, since I'm not a man of the cloth, I can let them go real easy, and I hope
oh,
I can.
That's so funny. You're so funny. He's a character.
He really
is. The fun thing that we had was we would get on to, just get on a roll with their team. I don't, it's almost worth you guys, if you haven't done this yet, ask them to get on a conference call, okay, with their whole team and talk about Supernova, okay?
Okay.
Say, look, we need some coaching on Supernova.
Yeah.
We want to just get your team on, and we're just going to ask you some questions. I'm telling you, it is the most fun experience you're going to have. They start laughing,
uh-huh.
And you don't have to be a comedian. They thought I was like, I felt like Johnny Carson.
Oh, we will definitely do that.
They're the best audience. And when you get him rolling, we're talking about the Bank of Trust and all these, a little bit on the spiritual side. And
Exactly.
Oh my Lord, he was so funny, and they would just get going.
Yeah,
I miss those calls. They're so fun.
He's a great guy. Well, they all are really wonderful. And in fact, they said the other day that they're glad to help in any way. We just asked a real quick question about what they did about certain of the call center, he admitted he. Did it? Found out the hard way. There's something you can do, and there's some things that we're not going to be able to do. But we'll rectify that. We'll worry about that. But that's a good idea to ask them. We'll send them lunch, and in Columbia, and if they'll give us an hour of our time here, give an hour of their time there, and we'll go through this and get them to help us. But that's That's good.
I think it's a really good idea business wise, but you'll have so much fun on that call. They're hysterical. They just completely got me going. That was just, I'm laughing, they're laughing, we're just cracking up.
Yeah.
I mean, they have more fun in that office. I know they get some work done, but oh Lord.
And he is such a when they were down here time before last, his daughter Jerry was finishing up her FAA program, so she came down a few times and actually did a couple of plans for us, so we got a chance to get to know her a lot better. I had known Gerald for years, but I did not know that he was a graduate of VMI, and, you know, at a time, he's a couple years younger than I am, but at a time when there were not a lot of blacks at VMI.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, he had a kind of a, I don't want to say a tough go. She was very candid about it, made him a better person all the way around, and he remains very close to all of his classmates, and they were just going back. He was going back for a reunion. I think he played, I can't remember if he played football or basketball.
I think he played basketball. Yeah.
Basketball, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And he was going back for a game and a reunion with it, and that he's been on a couple of boards from there and been very big in helping recruit African Americans to go there. I don't know. It's just a really neat story, and you know, class act guy. I hope that Madeline gets a chance to get to know him a little bit better. She's met Jerry a couple of times, but I'm the lucky one because I've been working with him for so many years and have known him through that. But anyway, that's a great suggestion. Thank you for.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I think you'll. So yeah, just all the questions that, you know, anything, just write them all down, and you can ask me, of course, but I think their perspective is one that is kind of unique. So, because they just really went from, this is a good idea, but we can't do it, to we're all in, you know.
Yeah,
and that was a very difficult transition for them, and they, you know, I think they're very proud of what they did. And I don't think they actually believed that they could do it. And so that's a big change, you know. First of all, to sign up when you really don't think that it's going to work for you is pretty cool. I mean, that takes a lot of courage. But then again, to get through VMI in the 70s or whenever he went through is pretty cool, too.
That's, that's exactly right. He did. He really did.
Yeah. I'm impressed. Yeah. I've always been
impressed. Okay, well, that was really, I mean, I'm not trying to bring an abrupt end to anything, but those were the things that, A, we wanted you to know about, and, B, we wanted you to help us with. You know, we don't have anything specific, but we're here to listen to you for as long as we can.
Okay, that was excellent, by the way. I really don't think that, I mean, the only suggestion I would make, and you don't have, this is a backup suggestion, And I probably mentioned it before, but keep in mind when people are wanting to stay and they just won't get off the hook, right? They just can't get that hook out of their mouth.
Yep.
Then you think about concierge medicine, right? They charge $5,000 and.
Yep.
You know, we'd love to keep you, but our minimum fee is $5,000 or $10,000. And I don't think with the size portfolio you have with us that that makes any economic sense. Do you?
Good.
You see?
Yeah.
Now instead of you being mean and being uppity, now you're doing it for them.
Right.
You're protecting them. It's just like, look, I just went up. I had a very successful ablation procedure, and the doctor is like a noted electrician. You know, he's a cardiologist, electrician that does this stuff and fixes people's AFib. And I met with the PA, I guess they call him, the
physician's assistant.
Yeah, physician's assistant, right. And I met with him. I met with him. Then I met with the nurse, and then I met with the doctor. Okay, and he did the procedure. He came in, told me it went great, and I just went to Sarasota and I met with the physician's assistant again. Okay, not because the doctor is a smartass and thinks he's so busy, because he is so busy. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, this guy can tell me exactly what's going on and why, and then I'll have a follow-up in, like, a month or two with the doctor. And that's fine, right? That's fine. So in reality, you don't have to be on all the calls. The vet can be on some calls for you,
mm-hmm.
and Madeline can do an administrative call once
mm-hmm.
a year.
Mm-hmm.
Where you cover things like online, you know, the online system and Visa cards and
right,
you know, whatever else it is that they should be doing that they're not doing, and you know, all the administrative things that come up. So that's the kind of operation that can be leveraging your time and their time. So it just, your productivity goes up, guys. That's
right.
The game. How do we raise each person's productivity so they're working in their job and doing it all the time and not doing somebody else's job?
Yep. That's it. This is great. I think what we'd like to you tell us. There's part of me that would like for you to bless the rest of this, the narrative, because I haven't finished with the part about the ones going to the call center, but I think we've got enough to go on. Maybe next week we'll ask you to, we'll go over it and let you fine tune it, but I don't think we want to wait any longer.
No, you're good.
This is good.
This is fine.
Good.
You can use the call. This is good for the call center. This is good for keeping clients. Trust me, guys. You've done a better job than 90% of the people that I work with. They just go and do it, you know. And half the time, it's the key is less is better, right?
Yep.
New York Times versus you know a book.
Mm-hmm.
So you want the you know as brief headlines, boom, 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 and off the phone. Smooth,
mm-hmm.
practice it, do it, and you'll practice it by doing it with clients.
Yeah.
And then think, don't think you won't use this again. You're going to use this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody introduces you to someone, we're happy to interview anyone and find a good fit for them. Right?
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're not saying you're going to take them.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, they don't say that they're going to join you. It's
right.
An interview process back and forth where you're interviewing them, they're interviewing you. And the problem is most people in our industry think that we're always the one being interviewed.
Yeah, I know.
And it changes the dynamics of the conversation. So
well,
you tell them what you expect from a client. This is how we operate. We'd love to work with you, but this is what we'll do for you, and this is what we need for you to do with us. We need you to take this very seriously. A lot of people say, well, you just take care of everything. And we go, no, sorry. This is not an abdication. You can delegate, but not abdicate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you got to be on these calls, and we want to educate you and make you part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, I've had clients say, oh, so you want me to actually take this stuff seriously. I mean, it's like your life, you know, it's protecting you from Skid Row.
We're hoping, yep. You know, it's funny, we say to some of our clients that, and it depends on the situation, that we want to educate them, not so that they can pass a quiz, but so that they become more comfortable with all this stuff that's done. I mean, you know,
right.
Folks think, The average investor looks at the Wizard of Oz and doesn't
right.
realize all that that goes on behind the curtain. And we just want to lift up the curtain a little bit so that it's not so much blue smoke and mirrors for everybody.
Right. It's not a mystery. It's, you know, we're making calculations based on years and years of education and experience, just like your surgeon does. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's not 100%, unfortunately, and we're not 100%. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be better than the next guy,
mm-hmm.
and that's why he hired us. So, okay, can we get to the enthusiastically endorsed introduction model? I just want to ask, you know, you've been so conscientious about everything that you do in terms of the homework and watching the videos. Questions on the enthusiastically endorsed model and the bank of trust?
I don't. No, we're okay. You know, it's part of incorporating all. We mentioned to you. I mean, I love the enthusiastically endorsed because we can bump into that very often when we're talking about the spheres of influence with the few attorneys that we like to deal with and the few CPAs we are. And, you know, that's going to be the term enthusiastically endorsed really, really fits well.
That's great. It's great because it is. People try and substitute other words,
mm-hmm.
and I go, hey, guys, these are good words. They're powerful
yeah.
words, you know. Yeah, somebody highly recommends. Well, that's different than enthusiastically endorsed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is more powerful. And you're a connector. And I was talking with a gentleman earlier today, and, it's his, like his second week in coaching. And we went through his clients to see where they came from. And they're all friends that he's just, they've come from other people, unsolicited, networked, connected. I said, you're a connector. He
yeah.
said, what's a connector? I said, you are unconsciously competent, okay? You're very good at what you do, but you don't know what you do. So we're going to have you become consciously competent, and we're going to use the enthusiastically endorsed model so that you will ask the questions, can you enthusiastically endorse, and then you're going to teach your CPAs, attorneys, and other trusted centers of influence to ask the same question about our business. Can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And when they say, no, I hate him, I want a new one, you say, would you be open to an introduction to several that I might be able to provide? And they go, of course. And boom, now you're introducing three because you're required to.
Yep.
And then they'll say, okay, I get it, but which of these is the best? And you go, well, watch the words. The one that gets the most enthusiastic endorsements from our clients is blank.
Yep.
So you're not endorsing him. You're simply telling the truth.
Right, right.
Okay?
That's perfect.
So those are key. You know, I'm glad you appreciate the value of words. There are tools, and without the right tools, we make a mess of building a desk. You know, we need the right tools, and words are your tools in your craft.
Yep.
Now, here's a twist on the bank of trust is a great idea, all right? Every time you do, people say, how do you build trust? You do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. So today we said we'd meet at 3 o'clock. We got on at 3 o'clock. You were there. I was there. Therefore, we each made a deposit in the bank of trust. And people say, you know, I don't understand. I'm a trustworthy person. Why isn't everybody trustworthy? And I said, everybody makes deposits and withdrawals from the bank of trust on a daily basis. And they go, what? I go, yeah. Well, they say, no, that's impossible. I'm trustworthy. I'm always trustworthy. I said, well, did you, when in the last week did you make an appointment with somebody and you were late?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're all
right. Right. Yep.
I mean, just 5 minutes late. That's a violation of your trust. You said you'd going to be there at 3 and you were 5 minutes late. You didn't do what you said you were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Withdrawal. Right? Some people have a regular, people forgive them because they've got enough deposits in the bank of trust. But you know people that are late all the time. Okay? So it's one of those calendar integrity, which is being on time, is one of the critical things in developing trust with other human beings. If you do that, right, if you do that, you'll do the big things. People say, well, it's a little thing. Well, the little things, attention to detail, are what people notice.
Yep.
Okay? Now
I'm writing it down, by the way.
Yeah, I feel it. The quiet. Here's an idea for you that I've been thinking about. This is the bank of hope or the bank of love, okay? And that this is a Gerald kind of thing, right? But the idea is that not only do what you say you're going to do, but every time you do something to help someone, you're making a deposit in the bank of hope.
Okay.
For them, for you and for them, or the bank of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so keeping track of that bank is as important as the bank of trust.
Mm-hmm. How do we remind them? Do we remind them that we made a deposit into the bank of love? Or
no.
We should assume, no. Okay. Yeah.
It's an anonymous thing, and it's for you. It's your bank. Okay?
Yep.
And you know that, you know, you make enough deposits in the bank of hope and trust and you go to heaven.
Yeah.
It's the kind of a feel good thing that you guys can work on as a team and just say, hey, here's the jar of hope, you know, and write a little note and drop it in the jar. And that was something I did. And, you know, at the end of the month, take them out and start reading them.
Yep.
And say, hey, here's stuff we did this month for other people without you know, asking. It was just something I did that was nice.
And we've tried to, and it's a proactive. So this won't be a big leap for us, other than the commitment to do more of it. You know, to send cards, you know, send notes of any kind, make contributions after the death of an individual to the thing. So that it's great to hear you say and refer to it as something. To us, it's just, this is the right thing to do.
Yeah, it is. But let me tell you something. It's a learned skill, just like getting the words right. It's a learned skill. And if you need to teach it to your children, you need to teach it to your friends, and you need to be a good example for others. Because, frankly, growing up, I never learned it. Okay? It just wasn't something that our family did very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a tough time with it. And my wife is fabulous, and she covers me, right? But I need to be better at this. And so it's one of those things that that I am going to work on, right? And, I mean, I do the things I can do without putting myself out much, I do, really, all the time, mm-hmm. right? But if it comes to writing a note, oh, God, I'm so bad at that.
Yeah.
I'm ADD, and I have all the excuses in the world, and I'll send an email. But sitting down and writing a note is so painful for me. So I need to work on that. So tip of the hat to you for doing that and doing it regularly. I'll give the money. I'll go to the meeting. I'll do whatever. But writing a note, oh, so hard.
Yeah.
My brother's good at it. You know, he learned it along the way. My friends are great, and but it's one of those. So I'm a big admirer of people that do it well. So anyway, congratulations, and it does matter because I love getting the notes.
You might get one from us. Don't be surprised.
You know, the other thing, this sounds funny, but, you know, I had the ablation and, you know, and it's an operation, right? It's like 1% of the people die. So it's like anytime you're going under anesthesia, and my neighbors and friends, kind of the word got out that I was going to do this, have this operation. And people came up to me and said, oh, I heard you're going, you know, next week into there. I've been saying prayers for you. And I was like, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, so neat, yeah.
You know, and it's like, are you kidding? You know, that's so nice. And they said, no, I mean it every day. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my God. And I came out of that, and I looked at the nurse, and she was like the best nurse in America. And I said, my prayers have been answered. Here is the best doctor, the best nurse, and the best people. That's the prayer. Not just that I lived, but that they were so wonderful to me, and it was such a good experience. So there's the bank of love, you know, the bank of hope. And, boy, I just think it's wonderful. Anyway, that's me getting a little off.
No, you're right. You're right.
I just think it's a wonderful thing, and that's what friendship is, and learning to be a good friend. It's hard, but it's so sweet. Anyway, I guess we get older, we get more sentimental.
Of course we do.
It's why we love our grandchildren so much. Anyway, so with that, that's not in the book, and that's nowhere. That was a new thought. Okay?
That was excellent. I'm so glad that we had a chance to prompt you into that, because that's really what it. I mean, you are 100% right. There was nothing corny or wrong about anything. I mean, that's and I think that goes. I know it goes a long way in life, and a selfish way would be it goes a long way in business too. I mean, these people appreciate us for what we do for them, and to say. I just fired off, I know it was an email and not a note, but one of our clients who was a secretary to my dad when he worked at Westvaco, and they still remain close, she's got a diagnosis with cancer, and she had specifically asked us not to let Dad know about it I don't really know why she didn't want him to, but I honored that. And then she sent an email earlier and said, please go ahead and tell your dad and ask him to give me a call if he feels up to it. And then I just simply said, you know, remember, we're praying for you. And you kind of get, you get into it all the time, and it's normal and natural, and it's nothing that you're forced or embarrassed about.
Right.
You're not forcing yourself to do it, and you're not embarrassed about it.
Right. It's a wonderful thing. And until you go through these things, you don't know how much you appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, when I retired, it was, you know, I remember my dad going through it, and I'm wondering, why are you having such a hard year? You're free, you know, you got money and you're retired. Life is good, right? No, he was traumatized. The phone didn't ring. He wasn't important. It took him a year to get through it. I retire, and I'm like, it was a funny story. My financial advisor called me after I retired and just started in on the performance of the portfolio. And I go, wait a minute, guys, time out, okay? You got to understand that I just went through something, one of the most traumatic experiences of my life, and that was retirement.
Right.
And you've got to bring it up. You've got to let me talk about it. Because nothing that you're going to say today is more important than how I feel.
Exactly. Oh, that's good.
And that's why we always ask, what's on your mind?
Yeah.
You know, before we get started, we've got an agenda, but what's on your agenda?
Yeah. God, that's good. What's on your mind?
And here's the problem. I wouldn't have known that had I not gone through it, right?
I
didn't know what it felt like. Had I not gone through this little operation and had people pray for me, I wouldn't know what it felt like. So the advantage of having a coach at 73 is that I can tell you what it feels like.
Hey, I'm not far behind you. The ladies are way behind you, but I'm right there behind you. Not too far.
But yeah,
that's good, though. To be able to live it and to know it that way makes a big difference.
Yeah, you just are, you know, you're like, wow, all those people that I just really didn't pay that much attention to, it was like, yay, they're retiring, 401k, rollover, okay. You know, it's like, and wait a minute, you didn't ask about their how they felt. You jerk. But they still love me, and life was still good. So
okay.
I made it to here somehow.
There you go.
we'll keep getting better every day, trying.
Well, this was great. Like I said, we'll start pushing the buttons, and then maybe next week in our discussion, just to bounce this thing off of you, just to make sure we haven't left out. You know, again, you've trained us to know that words are important. We think they are, but you know, we're just making sure we got the right words in some of this narrative. And,
yeah, I think you did. I think you've done great. Just practice it, do it, and then you're gonna be an authority by next week. So I'll talk to you then. Okay.
All right, my friend.
Great.
Take care.
Thanks.
See you.
Bye bye. Thanks, Madeline. Bye.